Can you hear me? Are we good? Everybody hear me? Well, that's good y'all can hear me because I'm from Tennessee. I'm going to share with the word with y'all this morning. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm from California. But anyway, it is good to be here with each of you today. And could we all stand as we open up in God's word and we read it together? We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33. Verses 7 through 11. The scriptures say, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. God, I pray for your word to come alive in our hearts today. Jesus, I pray for your spirit, Lord, as we have sung this morning, Lord, to be welcomed in this place. God, I pray that you would take me out of the way and that you would speak to the hearts and to the lives of your people. Jesus, we love you and we want to know you more and we want to understand your heart to a greater measure. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can all be seated. So my name is Danny Williamson. I do live in Tennessee, but I'm originally from California. And I've been able to walk with Jesus for the past 21 years. I gave my life to Christ at a Billy Graham crusade in Northern California. And there we were at the top of Arco Arena. And I heard old Billy come up. Everybody know Billy Graham? We good? Okay. So anyway, old Billy came up and he shared the gospel. And I remember tears just running down my face. And we were at the very top of this arena, and he gave an altar call. I said, come forward. And I was like, looked at the people I was with. I was like, you guys want to go? Because this, I got to go, you know? And I was like, no, we're okay. So anyway, I was like, whatever. Got out of my seat and literally ran to the altar just saying, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I need Jesus in my life. And he has been patient with me ever since. And I'm learning to be led by the great shepherd. And about almost 14 years ago, I was married to my beautiful wife, Michelle, and she is an amazing woman, and she is very, very patient with me. So that is a spiritual gift of hers, to be patient with Danny. So anyway, she's such a blessing. And then I also have 14 children. No, I'm just kidding, you guys. Are you kidding me? I would not be here if I had 14 kids. No, I have 3 boys, but it feels like I have 14 kids. They are ages 10, 8, and 3. Isaac, Malachi, and Josiah. They are a bundle of love, a bundle of joy, and they are so full of energy. It's ridiculous. So anyway, that's a bit about my story and what God has done. And now Speaking Louder, I happen to be the director for Speaking Louder Ministries. It's a ministry, Jeremy Camp. A cool applause for Jeremy. Everyone know the cool applause? All right, let's do this. It starts, go ahead. Doesn't it sound like rain a little bit? It's going international, y'all. Anyway, so Jeremy, him and his wife started a ministry called Speaking Louder back in 2012. And a while back, he asked me to step in as a director for that. And our whole passion and desire is to declare the hope of Jesus throughout the world with music, testimony, and service. And how do we serve? Yeah, we have music. And obviously, he's a musician, a great musician. We're all going to hear him. Who's coming on Saturday? Yeah, what's up? All right. It's going to be a good time. And it has a heart for Jesus and sharing the love of Jesus through music, but also testimony, the testimony of our life and what God has done in our lives and how we can express that. But as well in service. But how do we serve? It's through evangelism. It's through discipleship. It's through mercy. Really, in a sense, it's Jesus style. How did Jesus share and love people on this earth when he was here? Everywhere he went, he evangelized. He did. It was about him, but he did it. He shared his gospel everywhere he went. And then disciples. He raised up 12 men to turn the world upside down. And then also mercy. Mercy. Everywhere Jesus went, he had mercy. Does he not have abundant mercy on you and I? So that's a little bit of Speaking Louder Ministries as we're able to partner with Fat Fest and make this happen and really see Jesus glorified in the city. Is that cool? All right. So today we're going to be talking. I'm going to be sharing about leadership. All right. Carlos is going to be sharing about discipleship, and then Jeremy will be our last speaker, and he will be sharing about worship. Is that cool? You guys good with that? Cool applause? All right. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. So I read out of Exodus chapter 33, and there in this picture that we see Moses, and we see a little bit of Joshua, and we see this expression of leadership, an expression of leadership. Now, how many in this room are leaders? Raise your hand. Come on, come on. Keep them up. Keep going. Keep them up. Listen, if you have a seat and you're breathing, you're called to be a leader. So let's try that again. How many in this room are leaders? Now we're talking, all right? Look, all leadership really is, in essence, is influence. We're all called to influence people for the glory of Jesus. So if you're sitting here today, know that God is calling you to a path of leadership. Now, some pathways have a bigger weight of leadership upon them, but we're all called to be people of influence. So I ask, how are we leading? How are we leading? So I want to pose a few questions and challenges this morning. That first, we'd be leading with a heart of worship. Second, we would lead with a listening ear. And third, that we would lead with the presence of God. So first, lead with a heart of worship. Lead with a heart of worship. Now, a heart of worship, Jeremy's going to go into detail about this and what that means, but really, a life of worship is a life of leadership. Follow me in this. A life of worship is a life of leadership. Because the goal of leadership is the worship of God. Us as Christians, the goal of our leadership is the worship and glorification of God. I like what John Piper says. He says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship does not. Worship is the ultimate, not missions, because God is the ultimate, not man. So Moses and Joshua, they lived these lives of worship, which resulted in an anointing and a lifestyle of leadership. But how did they do this? Let's look at verse 7. It says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So there he is. He took and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it a tabernacle of meeting. You see, Moses sought value and he understood the value of alone time with God. That is really the first step of true leadership, is getting alone with God. Getting alone with God. Setting up that tabernacle of meeting as Moses did. This was a treasured time to Moses. It was a place of solitude where he could meet with God. He could communicate with God. So I ask us as leaders today, how is your alone time with God? How is your alone time with God? You see, if the only time we are meeting with God and worshiping God is in a place and in a sanctuary and in a church on a Sunday morning, we're missing the point. When was the last, like, how are we interacting with God when we're alone? When it's just us, nobody else around. Nobody can see if you're raising your hands or not. When was the last time you had a dance session before the Lord in your room when nobody else is around? And it's before Him. And you're like, yeah, let's get it all. Jesus. Come on, doing a little running man for the Lord. You know, like, He loves it. Try it. Try it. It's more than just having a cup of coffee and having your Bible, which it's a daily routine. I love it. But there's more than that. Let's communicate with God on a one-to-one basis. When we're taking a bus and it's just us, we got our little headphones in, are we communicating with God? That's an act of worship. So how is our relationship with God on a one-to-one basis? Are we finding those times to be alone with Him? You see, A.W. Tozer said, God waits to be wanted. God waits to be wanted. It feels good to be wanted, doesn't it? It really does. So first of all, God wants you. He wants your affections. He wants your attention. He wants your heart. But also, God waits for His heart to be wanted. When was the last time we asked the Lord how He's doing? Think about it. When was the last time you're taking a walk with the Lord and, Lord, how are you doing today? And when we ask that, are we taking the time to listen? You see, if for an example, this alone time, this idea of being alone with God. So my wife, she's amazing, she's beautiful, she's patient, like I said. But if the only time I talk to her was when we're in public, would I be missing out? Yeah, totally. I would be missing out on affection. I'd be missing out on communication. I'd be missing out on really hearing the deep things of her heart. We wouldn't have any kids. I'm just saying. All right, amen. You know, come on. So how did this one-on-one time, now we look at this and we see, how did this one-on-one time with God affect Moses' leadership? Look at this. Look what happens in verse 10. It says, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. So they saw Moses is in there. Something radical has happened. It's happening right at this moment. I want some of that. So what did they do? And all the people rose and worshiped. His worship of God resulted in the people worshiping God. So if we become worshipers and we put our heart before the Lord and we're having that one-on-one time with Him, that's going to carry over into all of those we have an influence upon. Whether it's our children, whether it's our friends, whether it's our church, it's going to carry out. It's going to spill over and other people are going to say, what is that? What is going on in you? I want that. And you have that heart of worship and you're leading others into a greater worship of God. Remember, the goal of leadership is the worship of God. This is the first basic principle in leadership. So when we worship God, here's the thing. We begin to embrace humility. We begin to embrace humility. And humility is the opposite of insecurity. What is one of the most dangerous things a leader can possess? Insecurity. Hitler was madly insecure. And he was one of the worst tyrants this world has ever seen. The dangers of insecurity comes from a lack of humility. But the way we gain that humility is getting that one-on-one time with God, worshiping God, because humility is knowing how big God is, knowing how little we are, and loving the difference. Knowing how big God is, knowing how little we are, and loving the fact that that's a radical difference. Isn't that amazing? How big and how wonderful and how great God is. So, we would lead with a heart of worship. But second, that we would lead with a listening ear. That we would lead with a listening ear. Look what it says in verse 11, the beginning portion. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Friendship with God. Jesus says, hey, I no longer call you servants. I have called you friends. Are we a friend of God? Are we taking the time to understand His heart? Where we begin to understand the joy of His heart, begin to understand what breaks His heart. And we're taking the time to listen. Are we taking the time to hear what He has to say? The truth is, guys, God is always speaking. He is. All around us. He's always speaking. He's speaking right now to people's hearts in this room. He's speaking to you. He can speak to us in so many ways. The question isn't whether or not God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Leadership must have a listening ear. So how does God speak? If we're going to be led by His voice and be His sheep, if you will, who discern the shepherd's voice, well, how does He speak to us? How does God speak? Many of us maybe ask that. Well, okay, God, how do you speak? What are the ways you can speak to me? How can I hear you clearly? What are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do we hear God? Well, a couple examples. One is the Word. Everybody say, the Word. Come on. The Word. Yeah, well, I like that. One more time. The Word. Yeah. God speaks through His Word. And everything that He speaks is not going to contradict this Word. Okay? This is our foundation of how God speaks. Okay? Bounce everything off of this. Okay, we need the Scriptures. We need the Word of God. And this is the primary way that God will speak to us. That's why I'm saying, hey, spend that one-on-one time with God. Open up His Scriptures and see what He is saying. So He speaks through the Word. But also, there's a still small voice that He speaks through. You think of 1 Kings chapter 19 when He speaks to Elijah, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the still small voice. The whisper of God. The whisper of God. One of my buddies, he had one time heard the whisper of God. He heard three words. And he was just serving the Lord and ministry in California. And he's just praying about God. I want to serve you. I want to follow you wherever you want me to go. And he heard three words. He heard, go Costa Rica. That's all he heard. But he knew it was God. He knew it was God. So you know what he did? He packed up his wife and his young daughter at the time. And they moved to Costa Rica and they planted a church and they were there for over 10 years. And they saw a countless amount of people come to know Christ, and a church was planted and is still there to this day. Just by hearing that still small voice, you never know what God can do. Go, Costa Rica. What is He saying to you today in that still small voice? In that still small voice. Sometimes He's just saying, smile. Sometimes He is just saying, smile. That's what I love about Uganda. Y'all can smile. I'm not kidding. I'm like, woo, you guys got some grins on. I love it. There's power in a smile, guys. There is. One time I heard of a guy who had jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, California, to his death. But earlier that day, he wrote a note. And he said, if one person smiles at me today, one person, I will not jump. He jumped. He jumped. Can we at least take the time to hear that still small voice of God where He's saying, just give somebody a smile. They need hope. They need hope. Because we live in a dark and dying world, and people need the hope of Christ that lives within us. But how else does God speak? He speaks through visions. Look at Acts chapter 10. He gave Peter a radical vision, and it opened up the door to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Like, we're a result of that vision that Peter had on the roof that day in Acts chapter 10. So God speaks through visions. Maybe He's giving some of you visions. It's a biblical thing. You're like, why did I see that cloud? Whatever. Whatever it may be, visions still happen this day. They're active and they're present. God also speaks through dreams. We got any dreamers in here? Where you wake up and you're like, that was God. Right? I love that stuff. And then you have those ones where you're like, that was not God. All right? So God can speak through dreams. And He likes to speak through dreams. Think of in Matthew chapter 1. And through chapter 2 and the account of the birth of Jesus. Imagine what would happen if Joseph ignored the dreams that God gave him. He had multiple dreams, whether it was to go down to Egypt, whether it was to go down to Bethlehem, whatever. He would get a dream from God. An angel would speak to him and he'd be like, okay, I need to go. There was weight to that. So we need to respond when God starts speaking through our dreams. What is it? Then He also speaks through creation. Oh, the wonder of creation. God can speak through a flower. God can speak through a flower. I experienced this a while ago. Here's a little bit about my wife. She loves flowers, but you know what she likes more? Chips and salsa. No joke. Tortilla chips and salsa. So I knock on the door and I'm like, yo, girl. She's like, But once in a while, I'll get her some flowers. And I got her these tulips. And anybody like tulips? Yeah? All right. Hey, listen, fellas. Get to know your flowers. The ladies appreciate it. Amen? Woo! So, I got her these purple tulips. And I love tulips because they have a lot of personality. They like droop and then they get happy with sunshine and they open up. Well, I got her these purple tulips, put them on the table and they were so beautiful. And you walk by and they're just, then they start to be in bloom. But I walk by and then I see inside this little flower. And I was like, seriously? God, you did not have to do that. Because it was this perfect asymmetrical mathematical equation of beauty inside this little flower. And it was yellow and bright. And I'm like, God, really? And he just speaks to me and he says, yes, I did. And I did it for you. Those little moments, finding joy in the details of God's creation. He can speak through that. Or fish. Fish. Like, there's certain fish that God makes and you're like, God, why? Like, why did you make that thing? I was watching a documentary on the flight over here and I see this crab that lives with this like sea urchin thing on its back and they live in like the desert sands of the ocean. And I'm like, nobody sees that unless you're some scientist scuba diving, you know? But it's like God just speaks again. I did have to do that. And I did it for you. I did it for you. God speaks through his creation. Or gifts of the Spirit. God speaks through gifts of the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. God speaks through that stuff. Whether it's a word of knowledge, speaking in tongues in it, and translating that tongue. God speaks through his gifts that he has given, that he's entrusted with the church. Let's not neglect those gifts. It's easy to. I had a buddy tell me a while back, and he was just feeling just this crazy step of faith that God was leading him to. And he's like, sometimes I just wish I was a cessationalist, which means he doesn't believe in the, like someone who doesn't believe in the gifts. He's like, it'd be so easy, wouldn't it? It gets us out of our comfort zones when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us through the gifts of the Spirit. Go for it, guys. The Spirit is alive and he wants us to use the gifts he's given us. God also speaks in an audible voice. Yes, he does. Not very often, but he does. So listen close. You never know. And then lastly, he also speaks through our conscience, doesn't he? He speaks through our conscience. We're like, I just feel weird about this. I'm not going to go there. That's a good idea. Okay? When you feel that conscience be stirred and like, that's going, there's something not right there. Listen. Could be the Lord. Couple examples of hearing God. I remember my son when he's now 10, but when he was 3, I was reading to him about Samuel and how Samuel began to hear the voice of the Lord. And he's like, oh, okay. It's one of those little children's Bibles. And so he really takes this to heart. And it's about an hour later and he's outside on this back porch and I see him. He's like on his knees. He's a little 3-year-old at the time and he's looking up and he's like, God, I want to hear you, God. And he's just listening and he's even like cleans out his ear. He's like, God, right? And he goes on. I'm just like, wow, dude, what a kid. And then he comes in and later on, I'm like, hey, buddy, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. He's like, what were you doing? He's like, I was trying to listen to God. He's like, did he say anything? And he's like, I don't know. I was like, okay, if he did say something, what do you think he'd say? And he's like, that he wants to come back. My little dude heard the Lord, didn't he? God spoke to him. So it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, or even how young or how old you are in the faith, God wants to speak to you. And if we're going to be leaders, we got to listen. If we're going to be leaders, we got to listen. I remember hearing a story of a young girl in China, 12 years old. And she had to go to work because of her brother and sisters that need to be taken care of by her mom. And 12 years old goes to work. She goes to work at this coal mine. And as she's at this coal mine, her only job was to push this big, fat, red button. Okay, that would alarm all the coal miners to come up, meaning that there's danger. So that's all she had to do. Just look at this little button. Right? And I believe her name was Sue. And she's this little girl and just looking at it, okay. And the boss has told her, hey, if you touch this button and for a time you shouldn't, you're out of here. You're fired. So she's like, oh, okay. Anyway, she's standing there looking at this button, her daily routine, and she hears, and she's a young little Christian girl, and she hears the Lord's still small voice, and push that button, Sue. She's like, no way. No way. I got to support my family. No. Sue, please push that button. She goes back and forth. Finally, she could not take it anymore. It was undeniable. So, okay. Boom. Woo, woo. Alarms going off and all these Chinese coal miners come running out and they're all mad. Like, why did you do that? We didn't hear anything down there. What's going on? They all come out. As the last person comes out, I think it was about like 300 men. As the last person comes out and the boss is yelling at her and all this, last person comes out. Guess what happens? The coal mine collapses. Those lives were spared because that young 12-year-old girl was willing to listen to God. You guys, we listen to God because lives are at stake eternally. We listen to God because lives are at stake. You see, Moses' friendship with God, this communication went both ways. Yes, Moses shared his heart with God, and God wants us to pour out our hearts before Him, but He also wants to speak. It's a twofold equation. It goes both ways. We don't just, a lot of times we're like, God, blah, 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 and then we walk away and He's like, but I thought you, but what about the, but I want it. Okay. You see, we need to get in the art and the practice of listening to God. Because when we begin to listen to God, we become better listeners to those we are leading. We become better listeners to those we are leading. Let's listen to our audience, whether it's an audience we're overseeing at work. Maybe some of you speak. Listen to your audience. If half the room is like this, like, make some changes, you know? Like, really. And like, be observant. Just listen to what's going on in the room. Listen to what's going on at your work. Listen to your audience, whatever your audience is, right? Listen. How many people are married in this room? How many, any husbands in here? Fellas? Listen to your wife. All right? Listen to your wife. Come on. Amen, huh? Right? Wives, listen to your husband. All right? I'm not talking to say anything crazy, but the genuine heartfelt when they really want to share something and there's something maybe is heavy on them, take the time to listen. Hear what's going on with them. Listen, listen. How many parents are in here? You got a couple? All right. Listen to your children. They have something to say. They have something to say. So often in the United States, I'm just like, and maybe it's this way here too, but we're like, what's that? Hold on, buddy. And he's like, Dad! I'm like, why are you yelling? He's like, because you're on your phone. So I need to listen to my children. Listen to our friends. Hear their hearts. You guys, people just need to be listened to. They really do. So, you know, I have a couple of friends I talk to them on the phone, my buddy Mark in San Diego. I give him a call and I'm just sharing, I'm just talking. I'm a bit of a jabbermouth. And anyway, I'm talking and sharing all this stuff. And I'm like, bro, are you there? He's like, oh yeah, dude, right here. He's a good listener. A good listener makes a good friend, don't they? Everybody loves a listening friend. Mm-hmm. So if we want to be a good friend, because friendship is a form of leadership as well. If we want to be a good friend, let's listen. Let's hear their hearts. Hear what they are saying. Feel what they are feeling. See what they are seeing. It's at this point we truly begin to lead. When we begin to listen. Listen to our environments. Gain a sense of emotional intelligence of what's going on. This is a huge step in leadership as we begin to learn to listen. Hear the hurt. Hear the hurt. Listen to their silence. Hear their heart. Listen to the affections. Sometimes, guys, when someone's going through something, maybe they've lost a loved one, the best thing we can do, you know what we can do, is just sit right down next to them. Sit. We don't need to solve all their problems. We don't need to have all the answers. They just want a shoulder. They just want a shoulder, and that's really all they need. They just want somebody to hear them. You don't need to respond. Just, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. It will be impossible for us to lead if we're not willing to listen. Finally, this last point is that we are called to lead with the presence of God. Lead with the presence of God. As it says there in the end of verse 11, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, his mama was a nun. It's pretty cool. Sorry. The son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So Joshua, a disciple of Moses, he was being prepared for a lifetime of leadership. He was going to lead Israel into the promised land. You know what the secret of Joshua's future success as a leader was? He fell in love with the presence of God. Moses left, he went out, did his thing. Where was Joshua? He stayed in the tabernacle because he began to fall in love with the presence of God. Are we in love with the presence of God? When we worshiped this morning, was there a sense of adoration? Like something's happening in this room. Carlos looks at me and he's like, dude, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps. I'm like, yeah, I mean, whoa, you know? And like the Lord was here and he still is here because his people are gathered in his name. Are we falling in love with the presence of God? Do we enjoy his presence? The testimony of his presence in our life. The first is leading from a place of rest. If you were to go on in this chapter in verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, and he said to him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Leading from a place of rest. Hebrews 4:9 says there's a promise of rest for the people of God. Now, I'm not talking about this rest. It doesn't mean a place of inactivity, okay? It doesn't mean a place of inactivity like my buddy at Bible college. He nicknamed his bed the Word. Where are you going, Garrett? I'm going to spend some time in the Word. That's not the kind of rest we're talking about. All right? You get it like, oh, yeah. So that's not the kind of rest we're talking about. This inactive thing. It just meaning, leading with rest means we lead from a place of security and a place of trust, knowing that God is going to work this out. God has my burdens. God has the burden of our team. God has the burden of our organization. God has the burden of my job. God can carry it, and I can go about this leadership in a place of rest. I don't have to strive. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We can take a deep breath when we wake up in the morning. God, you got it. God, you got it. I can lead from a place of rest. But also, not only would we lead because of his presence, that we would lead from a place of rest, but we would also be leading with joy. Leading with joy. Now, I love joy. It's become one of my life's studies. I love it. I love what Psalm 16, verse 11 says. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The most effective leader is the joyful leader. Joyful people, like true, genuine, joyful people are not hard to be around. Unless you're so consumed with yourself and so grumpy that you're irritated because you don't have it. Right? Check this out. I sat next to a nun on the plane, on one of the plane rides over here, and it was amazing. This homegirl loved Jesus. It was amazing. She's wearing her white garb and had her little bandana on, and I'm like, how do you get joy? You know? And I was just like, oh, I got to know what's going on, you know? And she just had this, she carried this joy, and it was a pleasure to be around her. And she's just sharing about, she finds so much joy and understanding that God loves her, and she gets to give of herself. She really finds joy in that. Right? And so it was contagious. I just wanted to be around her. A joyful leader is the most effective leader. You see, joyful leadership makes sense because joy is easy to follow. Joy is contagious. Joy is comforting. Joy is encouraging. Joy gives strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're carrying the joy of the Lord in your life, in your position of leadership, guess what? It's going to affect those you're leading for the glory of God. the joy of God. There's power in the joy of God. So is there joy and is there laughter coming from our leadership? You see, we're so guilty of taking ourselves so stinking serious. We are. It's like, I got to have it all together. When we don't have it all together, we're all a mess. Right? We really are. If we're honest with ourselves, we're a mess. And we need the grace of God in our life. But we get to tap into that grace. All right, God, I'm a mess, but I'm yours. And I'm going to abide, just like that nun said to me, she's like, you know, she opened up, she's like, it's not easy. Because people look at me in the scar, even the people walking on the plane, they're carrying a baby, the nun was actually sitting behind me, they were carrying this little baby, crying, and they look at the nun, they're like, would you mind switching seats? So she sat next to me and she's like, how good would that look if I said no? You know, you're right. You know, so it's one of those things. So she just got to the point. She's like, you know, even when I'm struggling, I'm going through this, I don't take myself too serious because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I like what D.L. Moody said about laughter and joy in our witness. If Christians are gloomy and cast down and not full of praise, the world will reject their gospel. It is not good news if it does not produce praise in those who have it. Praise, laughter, and joy are a big part of our witness to the world. Praise, joy, and laughter are a part of are a massive part of our witness to the world. Right? A massive part. Laughter. I love laughter. I was talking about laughter at one time and told a few jokes from the pulpit, and I was in Russia. I don't even know anything about Russia, but it's a little stoic. So, you know, they were great and they finally opened up and a few chuckles here and there. And I had this pastor come up to me later and he's like, is it okay, brother, to laugh from the pulpit? I'm like, yeah, it is. Woo! You know, and because laughter is like fingerprints. We all have our own, don't we? We all got our own. Some people got the exhaust laugh. Anybody got any friends like this? You're like, you can breathe, bro. Or you got the high-pitched giggles? You're like, woo, Wizard of Oz. It was crazy, right? Or you got the like shaking, nothing coming out laugh where they're like, isn't that the best, you know? And then there's a few of these in the world, the snorters. Come on. Jeremy and I had a friend. Remember Jenna? Woo! She was hilarious. And she was like all dolled up. She was all foo-foo, always had a pretty dress on her. But then when you get her laughing, she'd be like, ah! And you're like, where'd that come from? And not only that, she'd grab your arm at the same time and start pulling. You have any puller laughers here? Like, yeah! And you're like, dude, take it easy. You're going to break my arm. Right? Oh, I love laughter. It's a gift from God. Laughter is such a gift from God. It really is. And we tap into that. And now it's like, oh, dude, you got that laugh. I know. And then there's like the nose laugh. I mean, there's so much. The squeaker. Like, anyway. The gift of laughter, God desires for us to embrace His joy. He desires for us to embrace His joy. And if we're going to be effective leaders in this world, carry the joy of God. Carry the joy of God. The joy of His presence can be a testimony of our life and the power in our leadership. No matter how hard the pain, no matter how hard the heartache and the level of trial, our joy can be full. Overflowing. I think of my grandmother, who's now with Jesus. She was one of the most joyful people I ever met in my life. But she didn't have an easy life, especially in her latter years. She survived breast cancer, open heart surgery, and the worst of all, my Uncle Mike, her son, was killed in her house. You see, her and my grandpa went on a trip away, and my Uncle Mike, who was a recovering addict, he'd been clean and sober for 2 years. He's a recovering addict, and he used to go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and share the love of Jesus with those at the meeting and saying, hey, God set me free. And him and my dad began to be close brothers again. It was a beautiful story and what was coming of his life. And God began to restore the marriage that was lost. It's a beautiful story. But anyway, he went to an AA meeting one night, and this young 19-year-old kid followed him home, and he was watching my grandmother's house. And he followed him home, and he was trying to ask him to get high again and cook him some food. And my uncle's like, just get out of here, man. Just go home. Anyway, a couple hours go by. The guy left. A couple hours go by. My uncle's sleeping. The guy breaks into the house, and he kills my uncle with a baseball bat. Tried to light the house on fire and took off to Mexico for 13 years. So they didn't know where he was. The killer, my dad had to identify. It was ugly. It was on America's Most Wanted 2 different times. It was just this crazy scenario. But my grandma, losing her son. I remember sitting next to her on the couch one time and just putting my head on her shoulder. And she was a mystery to me because she still could smile. She had a snort laugh. And she could still chuckle and do the little thing. And I'm like, Grandma, like, how? How do you still have joy? I really didn't get it. Like, you lost Uncle Mike. You battled cancer and open heart surgery and like all this in this short period of time. How? And her simple words, she said, you know, Danny, I just know that Jesus is there. I just know He is there. His presence goes with me always. As the famous missionary David Livingston said, he hung his entire ministry and all that he ever did and all he ever served in Africa. And he said, I hang it all on these words that when Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always. We must lead with an awareness of the presence of God. Lead with an awareness of the presence of God. Do we know that He is there? It makes a difference when we know that our Abba, that our daddy is there. Like when I come home from a trip and my 3 boys are waiting for me at the door and they don't even wait for me at the door anymore. I pull up in the car or whatever and they're running out the door and just they jump into my arms and it makes such a difference when daddy is home. Doesn't it make a difference in our leadership and our lives when we know that daddy is home? That our Abba Father is present. He's present here and He wants us to lead with His presence. He wants us to lead with a heart of worship. He wants us to lead with a listening ear. And He invites us to that life of leadership. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for Your grace. I thank You for the joy that You promised to us, the fullness of joy that You give to Your children. I pray we'd walk in that joy, Lord. I pray that we'd be leaders who listen to You and obey You and follow You and trust You. Lord, deal with our insecurities. Deal with them, God. The pitfalls of pride that so often trip us up. Lord, I pray that we lay them at Your feet now. We'd be leaders who embrace humility because it's not about us. It's about You, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. People do not need to see us. They need to see Jesus in us. So may Your presence go with us wherever we go. You are awesome, Lord. We give You the praise and the glory this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.